Hello and welcome to First Baptist Church. Today's speaker is Pastor Jeff Reynolds.
Lord, you are beauty and you are majesty and you are everlasting God. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God and you are the one who created us. You are the one who redeems us. You are the one who transforms us and you are the one who will see us all the way through in Jesus Christ onto glory. We thank you for it, Lord. And on this Mother's Day, Lord, we thank you for moms. And we know that this day is a day filled with great joy for so many. And we know that this day is a day filled with pain for so many. And we know that for some, it's an odd mixture of both. And so, Lord, today, we rejoice with those who rejoice. We mourn with those who mourn. But, Lord, over it all, we thank you that you are with us. That you never leave us, that you never forsake us, that you are with us always, even unto the end of the age. And so, Lord, we know you're here now. And we pray that you would tune our hearts now to receive from your holy and inerrant word just exactly what you would say to us, so that when we leave this room in just a moment, we're more like Jesus. For it's in his precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. Well, happy Mother's Day. And Mother's Day is one of those days, it's kind of like Easter Sunday to me. We celebrate Easter Sunday once a year, but quite frankly, we're in this room on a Sunday morning because Jesus rose very early in the morning on the first day of the week. And so though we celebrate Easter and the resurrection of Jesus Christ one day a year, really we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ every day all year long, because if Christ is not raised, then we don't have any hope. Well, Mother's Day is much the same. We set aside one Sunday in May to celebrate moms, but how many of you would agree that moms need to be celebrated every day? Amen? Amen. That's right. I think so too. And I thank God for the moms in my life, for the women in my life who pour into my life, who show the character of God, the nurture, the tenderness, the strength, and so many other attributes of God. We thank God that he saw fit to create both men and women in his image and to his glory. And we learn so much. But one of the things I love about moms is they're great storytellers. I learned that early on in my life when I was maturing and starting to, you know, date and meet some other young ladies. And I learned that my mom liked to tell stories when she met those young ladies. How many of you have had a mom who has told a story that perhaps you might not have volunteered to a young person upon whom you were calling? How many of you have had this wonderful experience? You've had the photo album brought out from when you were a baby. And how many of you, for whatever reason, people used to like to take pictures of babies in the bathtub, always featuring that cute little bottom. And how many of you had a mom who's shown that to somebody before? Anybody? Mm-hmm. I don't know how we'll do it in the digital age. I guess they'll just text it to them. But moms love to tell stories. I'm married to a mom now. For the last 11 years, I've been able to watch that up close and personal. Not sure how she does what she does, but she tells stories. She has become an expert in things I've never even thought that she would ever even care about. She knows professional soccer players and what team they play for and what sort of reputation they have as to whether or not my son should wear the jersey of that particular player. I have no idea about any of it. But she's become an expert. Why? Because she loves to tell the stories of her children. All you have to do is flip open Facebook. The kids tell us that's where all the old people go. So if you're on Facebook now, that must mean you're old. So I guess we're in it together, okay? But that's where moms brag digitally. How many of you have found it used to be? And grandparents, you're not left out either. I've never seen anything to drive grandparents to more technological savvy than the opportunity to share pictures of their grandkids. It used to be when you saw a grandparent pull that billfold out of her purse or his billfold out and they opened it and the big thing of pictures came down, you knew how long you were going to be there, right? Now, you don't know how long they're going to swipe. They might just keep on going. Why? Because they love to tell the story. Because stories are powerful. Stories are powerful. And that's one of the things that God gave moms to show us how to do, is to tell stories. Well, today I want to give you this theme. God's stories are powerful. Tell them. God's stories are powerful. It's so fitting that God would lead us to this text on this day. Just as we come through this series in Acts, we're going to see the power of an almighty God whose character we celebrate as revealed even through Moms This Day. So I want to invite you to open your Bibles to page 919 if you're in the Red Pew Bible. If you're not in the Red Pew Bible, I want to invite you to open to Acts chapter 11. I'm not sure what page number that is in yours. You can also tune in to YouVersion and follow along on our live event app right now. God's stories are powerful. And today you're going to see Peter tell the story of what God did just last week. You're going to see him tell the story of the powerful movement of God. It starts in verse 1. It says, "Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God." I want us to see first today, that may seem very pedestrian to you, not such a big deal, but I want us to see first that God's stories are a big deal. God's stories are a big deal. Why is it that this story was a big deal? Well, here's why. Very simple. God was saving people he wasn't supposed to save. God was forgiving through Jesus Christ people who shouldn't have been forgiven. God was redeeming people who were too far away for God to save them. God was transforming people who shouldn't have been transformed. Can any of you resonate with that story? God's stories are a big deal because anytime Almighty God invades humanity and does something miraculous, that shouldn't have happened. You shouldn't be here today. You should not be in church today. Your story is a big deal. Because here's the thing. We like to categorize people into mean sinners and nice sinners. But did you know that mean sinners and nice sinners go to the same sinner's hell? Did you know you can be a really nice person and go to the same hell that an axe murderer would go to? Why? Because sin is sin, and sin separates us from God. And when we are separated from God in sin, we cannot enjoy the goodness of God in his grace. So the fact that God pursued you and the fact that God pursued me is miraculous. It's a big deal. So you may feel like, well, I don't have that great of a testimony. I didn't have some horrible downward slide and then God rescued me from the miry pit. Maybe that is your story and praise God for it. But I want you to know, you really did have a horrible downward slide. I grew up in church and still managed to sin when I was a teenager. Anybody else? Sometimes I even sinned in the church building. Is that fair enough? And so there was a downward slide. But I was a good boy. I was a nice young man. Many of y'all know Steve Ayers. I know him well. And every Mother's Day, I promise you, he said it today. He said, "My mama's a sweet woman, but she's lied." And many of you know Mrs. Catherine Ayers, and you say, how could Mrs. Ayers have ever told a lie? And Steve would answer it this way. He said, "My mama said I was a good boy." And those of y'all who know Steve know that's not true. Stories are powerful. Your story is powerful. So this story of God saving people he shouldn't have saved was a big deal. You may be here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you may be saying, God couldn't save me. Oh, I want you to know, he could save you, I promise. If he can save me, you've got a shot. If he could save Cornelius, you've got a chance. If he could save the people sitting in your pew, he can save you. God's stories are a big deal. Well, not everybody's happy about God's story. Watch how this response comes. Verse 2. "So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, 'You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them.'" Secondly, I want us to see that God's stories bother some. God's stories bother some. Why do they bother some people? Because some people cannot stand the idea of God breaking outside of the box they've put him in. These people were upset because, well, God's not supposed to go to Gentiles. God's not supposed to go to those people. God's not supposed to go to those sinners. Now, I'll remind you, what was God doing? He wasn't just going to those sinners and blessing them in their sin. That's not it. No, he was calling them out of their sin. No longer will you worship pagan gods. No longer will you build your life according to a godless presupposition. No, now you will build your life on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected, and you will build your life on the holy and inerrant Word of God, and you will seek through the power of the Holy Spirit to follow God the rest of your days. So it wasn't just that God was affirming them where they were, He was meeting them where they were, but leading them out. Well, that bothers some people. How many of you remember when you gave your life to Christ and God started to transform you, there were some friends that didn't like it? Anybody? Did you have that experience? And it usually goes like this. Well, you just think you're too good, don't you? You're a holy roller now. You're holier than thou. And it just so happens that the thou is me, right? Did any of you have that happen? That's hard. And it hurts. Because most of us have some conception that to get to heaven means you need God's grace plus something. For these people, you needed God's grace plus circumcision. That would get you in. For others, you need God's grace plus whatever moral standard they want to impose. That gets you in. For others, it's God's grace plus the standard you have heard and therefore imposed upon yourself. And some of the most bitter people I've ever met in my life are the people who can't embrace God's grace. They think you should be perfect to be a follower of Christ. You should be perfect to go to heaven. And while the standard of heaven is perfection, you do have to be perfect to go to heaven. All of us have failed that standard, and we needed a Savior who would die on an old rugged cross, a perfect Lamb of God slain in our place, so that His righteousness could be placed on us. So when people look at me and say, well, you just hide behind the cross, you know what I tell them? You're exactly right. Because the only hope that I have that I would ever do anything pleasing to God is hidden behind the cross of Jesus Christ. It bothered some people. But that doesn't make the story any less powerful. So Peter tells it. So watch this, verse 4. But Peter began and explained it to them in order. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners. And it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But I said, "By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth." But the voice answered a second time from heaven, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, "Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household." As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how He said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If then God gave the same gift to them as He gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? What a great question. Who was I that I could stand in God's way? I want you to see, thirdly, that God's stories reveal God's heart. God's stories reveal God's heart. In Isaiah 65, verse 1, God through the prophet said, "I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, 'Here I am to a nation that was not called by my name.'" And for me and you, those are some of the most hopeful words in the Bible, because we were numbered among those people He just described in Isaiah 65, 1. We weren't looking for God. The seeker movement came in many years ago, and churches became seeker sensitive to maybe capture those who were seeking God. Do you know what the Bible says? Nobody seeks God. We all turn away to our own thing. We all go our own way. Together, the Bible says, we have become worthless because we try all the things that don't work and we refuse to seek after God. But God, in His great love for us, sent His Son to save us. So what does that mean? Well, picture yourself needing a life raft but refusing to swim to it. Picture yourself thrashing about in the sea, needing to be rescued, but refusing to receive the rescue God has given. And so what does he do? He throws that life raft right in front of your face, and you grab it. That's how we all come into the boat of salvation. That's how we all experience God's redemption. What awaits us? That came in Isaiah 66, verses 12 through 14. Listen to this on this Mother's Day. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her, her being Jerusalem, like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you, who are God's people, God's servants, you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see and your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like the grass, and the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and he shall show his indignation against his enemies. Isn't that beautiful? That's how God will care for his children and how he will care for us eternally. What imagery. What a picture of the nurture, the love, the tenderness, the strength that God gives to each of his children. And what a blessing that he's given us moms to show us what that's supposed to look like, so that when he says these things, we have some idea of what he means. Well, how did it end up? Verse 18. When they heard these things, they fell silent. And they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life. I want us to see, fourthly, that God's stories soften our hearts. God's stories soften our hearts. These men were so opposed to what Peter had done in taking the precious gospel to those people. But then God saved those people. Peter needed to tell the story of how God saved those people, so he did. And what did it do? It softened the hearts of those who were formerly so opposed to what God was doing. God's stories soften our hearts. Have you ever heard the story behind the song, It Is No Secret What God Can Do? It was written by a man named Stuart Hamblin, who was a cowboy singer back in the 40s, and he was a talk show host. And he was living wild. He had been very successful in his field, and success hadn't meshed well with his moral character. The way we would say it in athletics is his talent took him further than his character could keep him. He was falling out of good graces with a lot of people because he was kind of living wild. Well, there was a young preacher who was coming to Los Angeles in 1949, and Stuart Hamblin had him on the show. Preacher's name was Billy Graham. Nobody really knew about him, but he was going to host a Greater Los Angeles crusade. And so he was going on there to promote the crusade. And during the course of the show, Billy Graham, the young preacher, asked Stuart Hamblin to come and just attend the crusade. Well, Stuart Hamblin did. He came. He showed up. This wild living, wild drinking man. Billy Graham got a call and said, Stuart Hamblin would like to meet with you. So he went and met with him. And during the course of that meeting, Stuart Hamblin gave his life to Jesus Christ. He repented of his sin. He received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And all of a sudden, the town was abuzz. People all over Hollywood wondering, could it be that this man who was so well known for living so wildly had been changed by Jesus Christ? And so one of Stuart Hamblin's friends came to him and said, Stuart, is it true? Did this really happen? And Stuart said, yeah. He said, look, it's no secret what God can do. His friend looked at him and said, you know, Stuart, you ought to turn that into a song. The friend's name? John Wayne. So Stuart did. He turned it into a song. A song that's been sung by Jim Reeves, a song that's been sung by Elvis Presley, a song that's been sung by Johnny Cash, a song that has topped the charts even outside of its genre, a song that many of you in this room know. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. We tell God's stories because God's stories are powerful. We tell God's stories because God's stories are impactful. We tell God's stories because, frankly, there's a lot of people who need to know that it is no secret what God can do. Because you know what I found about human beings? Most human beings, at the deepest level of who they are, know that they're sinners. We may be able to put a facade on in front of the world, but we still have to look in the mirror. We still have to deal with the decision we just made. We still have to muddle through. Most human beings know that they're sinners, and most of us try to fix the brokenness that that sin creates in a lot of different ways, but we found that no way works. And so we think, maybe, just maybe, maybe if I come to church with Mama on Mother's Day, I'll hear something that could fix this. Maybe, just maybe, if I leave the channel on WBKO and I listen to what that guy's talking about, maybe there's something there. Maybe if I don't scroll past this video on Facebook, maybe if I listen to this podcast, maybe, just maybe, there's something there that will help. Well, what I want to tell you today is there's more than something there. There's someone there. His name is Jesus. And I'm here to tell you today that it is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. So for just a moment, we're going to have a time of response. And on this Mother's Day, we're going to invite you to come. If you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, we want you to come. If you need to profess your faith in Jesus Christ by biblical baptism, we want you to come. If you're a biblically baptized believer and you're ready to join our church and join us in our mission, we want you to come. If you just need to pray, a couple of our deacons and our ministry staff will come forward, and we want you to come. Mother's Day is a joyous day, but Mother's Day can also be a hard day. And I want you to know, here at First Baptist Church on the corner of 12th and Chestnut, where faith and life meet, we want to live out what God said. My house shall be called a house of prayer. And so we're going to pray. We're going to sing as we prepare to pray. We're going to sing My Faith Has Found a Resting Place, led by Miss Nancy Crone. And Miss Nancy, thank you so much for that beautiful testimony earlier. That's just so powerful. Isn't she just wonderful? She's wonderful. We love you, Miss Nancy, but as she leads us to sing, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place, if your faith needs a resting place, you come. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your tenderness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. And we thank you, Lord, that it truly is no secret what you can do. And if there's anyone in this room or anyone in the sound of my voice who believes that maybe, just maybe, they've gone too far, they're too far gone, that right now, through your Spirit, they would hear in the name of Jesus, they are not beyond your reach. They're not beyond your grasp. Father, if anyone needs to come to Christ, may they say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've broken your law and I deserve to go to hell. Whether I was mean about it or whether I was nice about it, I'm still a sinner separated from you. So, Lord Jesus, I believe you came. I believe you lived a perfect life. I believe you died on the cross, the death that I should have died. But I believe you rose victoriously the third day from the grave and that you live today. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Please forgive me of all of my sin. Make me new and help me follow you. So, Lord, at this time of response, I pray that our faith will finally find the resting place it needs, firmly in Jesus, the one who died and rose again. So we ask your blessing now, and we pray at this time of altar, your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let us see Jesus high and lifted up, and let us come to him. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Will you stand with me? And as you stand and as we sing, if God is leading you to come, you come. You say, what'll meet me up there? Open arms, a warm embrace, and the love of a God who will nurture your soul like never before. Let's sing.